the prophet her spot, the prophet wouldn't allow that. The prophet and her would sit together.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirril mustawda'i fi بعدد ما أحاط به علمك يا فاطمة يا
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. You are listening to some interesting facts about Islam. Muslims believe they are members of a worldwide Muslim community known as the Ummah, united by a religious bond that transcends tribal, ethnic, and national identities. The first mosque built in the U.S. was the Mother Mosque of America, which was built in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in 1934. It is still used for worship today. And now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. We start off this hour's program with To My Brother. The program examines the universal principles contained in the teachings of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and their importance for contemporary individuals and societies. Our varied radio productions feature will follow, and after that we have Viewpoints. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. And to round up this hour's programs, we have The Key. The program presents short answers to doubts and ambiguities raised about various Islamic and Shiite topics. Stay with us for the next hour.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. And as history is a testament, and furthermore both friend and enemy have testified openly, Imam Ali alayhi salam was not tainted with any vices, unlike so many others who surrounded him and opposed him. He had a perfect faith in Allah, and so he acted according to his belief. Imam Ali alayhi salam was a lantern of guidance in his time, where the sunnah of the Holy Prophet had begun to be forgotten. Yet Imam Ali remained steadfast on the path of the pure Muhammadan Islam, like a solid, unshakable fortress in the middle of a great wild storm.
أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: من وضع نفسه مواضع التهمة فلا يلومن من أساء به الظن.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "He who puts himself in conditions of ill repute should not blame those who entertain bad ideas about him."
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is To My Brother, and we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So what an honor it is to be here speaking about the universal persona of the first divinely appointed Imam, the living, breathing miracle of Islam, the champion of the great battles of Islam, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, you know, we find when we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, one of the very integral and very beautiful features of his eminence is the intense love that Imam Ali alayhi salam had for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Now, this might seem like a trivial thing, but we find that the Holy Quran and the traditions of the infallibles, including the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, it has a great emphasis on the love for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And of course, at the head of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. And so we find that even in the Holy Quran, when the people wanted to reward the Holy Prophet, the Holy Prophet responded with the verse of the Holy Quran that the only reward that I want is for you to have this deep love and this intense love for my Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Now, when we look at the statements of Imam Ali, His eminence really showed via his personality, his words, his behaviors, that he truly loved the Messenger of Allah. At one point, somebody asked Imam Ali alayhi salam how much he loved the Holy Prophet. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam, he swears by the Almighty Allah. He does this religious, fiqhi, jurisprudential oath. And of course, As many of you know, this jurisprudential oath or swearing in the name of the Almighty Allah is not something that you can break. It is haram and forbidden to break. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, by Allah, I swear this, the Prophet is dearer to us than our fortunes, our sons, and our mothers. He is even dearer to us than cold water to the thirsty. And so we find that this is just one statement of the many statements that His Eminence made about his intense love for the Holy Prophet. Whenever the Holy Prophet wanted to stand up, Imam Ali alayhi salam used to help him to stand up. Whenever the Holy Prophet wanted to sit down, he would lean on Imam Ali. We find that whenever there was something that the Holy Prophet wanted to do, Imam Ali was always at the forefront of helping him to do that. And so this love of the Ahlul Bayt, this love for Imam Ali alayhi salam, this love for the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, is something that is really integral in the persona of the first divinely appointed Imam. And it is something that can take you to spiritual excellencies and spiritual heights. Merely following and obeying the orders, yes, that is the first step of this ladder. But, you know, merely obeying without any love being involved, you know, to the one that you're obeying, it's not going to really get you to spiritual heights and excellencies. And of course, when you learn about these infallibles and immaculates, peace and blessings upon them all, it is really, you know, there's nothing much you can do other than to fall in love with them. A beautiful lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء قدير.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
This is a khutbah that Ali gave after he was accepted as the Khalifa of the Muslims. And so he ends this part by saying, وَلَهُمْ خَصَائِصُ حَقِّ الْوِلَايَةِ وَفِيهِمِ الْوَصِيَّةِ وَالْوِرَاسَةِ. Ali Muhammad possessed the special qualities for authority, the wilayat or the ummah. And they have, in their favor exist, the will and the succession of the Prophet. On no one else is that. And they're referring to his own Khilafat. At that time, he says, Al-an is raja'a al-haqq ila ahlihi. Now the right, the haqq, the truth has returned to its rightful owner. Where it was before, it wasn't in the hands of the rightful owner. And this is where we see, you know, the importance of Amir al-Mu'mineen when he talks about Ahlul Bayt. You know, these are not the issues of those who are ghali, exaggerating the position of Ali Muhammad. Amir al-Mu'mineen, one of the beauties of him which transcends time and space is his quality of ilm and his insistence on justice. When you look at his adl and justice, a Christian writer from Lebanon talks about the life of Ali, and the title of the book says quite a lot. Ali, the voice of human justice. For him, Ali becomes the voice of human justice. And he was so much particular about this issue, actually, there is a saying among historians where they say, قُتِلَ فِي الْمَحْرَابِ لِشِدَّةِ عَدْلِهِ. Ali was killed in the mihrab, and the purpose, the motivation behind his murder was his insistence, his shiddat on the matters of justice.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Allah's love has no limits. Allah's love has no boundaries. For every raindrop that falls, for every ray of sunshine, for everything is under His control. You cannot see Allah, you cannot touch Allah, but you can feel Allah. He is there in every tear that falls, in every smile that shows. Allah is all around us. I am whatever I may be, but Allah has already planned my destiny.
Iran is known for its four-season climate and the climatic variety in each of its regions. This time, the lavender fields of North Khorasan province have invited us so that we could discover a part of natural beauties in northeastern Iran.
The land of a thousand colors, with a wild and vibrant nature, where kings and poets have been inspired by its beauties throughout the ages. A place where fountains keep the rivers flowing like the never-ending tales of Shahrazad in the 1,000 Nights and a Night.
From some of the most arid deserts in the world, the habitat of the Iranian cheetah, to the greenest forests, pastures, and valleys, North Khorasan has it all. Here at the Baba Aman Forest Park, the combination of rivers, waterfalls, and the umbrella of sycamore trees have all created one of the most popular summer hideouts for the people in the region.
There are a number of forest parks in North Khorasan, and Baba Aman is one of the popular ones. In spring and summer, Baba Aman hosts the largest number of visitors. At first sight, the place resembles an oasis. What greets you here upon your arrival is the cool, gentle breeze that touches your face. The symphony of a flowing river and the terraced ponds in the middle of the park complete this good feeling. But our trip to North Khorasan is not all about nature. In this amazing region of Iran, there is a little town which could be considered unique, at least in Iran and its surrounding countries. The exceptional feature of this place unveils itself after a short drive in the town's only boulevard.
We have come to a little town in northeast Iran, a town with only 12,000 inhabitants. What is interesting about it is that it has more than 170 shops that only sell dried nuts and dried snacks, such as kashk. It's a combination of dried curd and herbs and spices. Wow, it's kind of hard, but it's so tasty. Let's get inside and have a look.
Welcome to Faruj, the region's trade hub for dried nuts, trail mixes, and you name it.
One of the things that makes North Khorasan exceptionally beautiful is its untouched natural environment. Many believe that this region could be one of the main destinations for ecotourists in the near future. A few kilometers from the city of Shirvan, a village known as Gelian testifies to this fact.
We head towards a hidden paradise in Iran's northeast. Gelian, also known as Golian, is one of the 365 outstanding tourist villages of Iran. With a population of no more than 700, the inhabitants of this picturesque mountainous area are mainly engaged in farming and animal husbandry. Gelian is situated in a valley. the terraced structure of the village and its adobe buildings, along with very tall trees, are only some of the interesting features of this place. Some people believe that if you're born in Iran and spend an entire lifetime traveling across this country, you still wouldn't be able to see all the beauties of this ancient land. This may be true, but seeing at least a part of beautiful Iran would still be worth it. Amir Mehdi Kazemi for Iran.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. Today is Jamadi Asani III, the martyrdom anniversary of Lady of Light, Lady Fatimatu Zahra. So today's episode is dedicated to this holy character. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Liaqat and Sheikh Latifi. Sheikh Liaqat, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Latifi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam to you and to your dear listeners.
So Lady Fatima's role as a mother and as a wife becomes very important. Okay, it might be a little bit ironic to ask a man, Sheikh Hussein, about how Lady Fatima can change the life of a family as a core meaning, but I think that you can help us a lot in this way. Sorry.
Yes. Actually, you know, when it comes to that core spirituality or the spiritual core of Islam, there is this position which displays itself in certain moments that, well, talking about the Islamic mysticism, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two set of names, the names of Jalal, glory, and the names of Jamal, beauty. Mm-hmm. So the names of glory are masculine, the names of beauty are feminine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and both of these have manifested in different layers of creation. And both of the, there is no contradiction between them. So all this duality thinking comes from our shortcoming in understanding and in reconciliation between them. So when it comes to the role of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, as the brother put it nicely, that they act as a mediation. And I want to emphasize here, when we talk about the love of Ahlul Bayt being part of Tawheed, mm-hmm. is like, let me give you the example of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted angels to fall in prostration towards Adam alayhi salam. And there is this saying that, I don't know how much accurate it is, but it makes sense, that Shaitan said, I only fall in prostration towards you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So he thought, the holier-than-thou situation, that I am more of a muwahhid than you. Uh-huh. Now, it is God himself telling you to fall in prostration towards Adam. There is a hikmah, there is a wisdom behind it.
All right.
And when Allah tells us, لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهَا أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى, mm-hmm. we should know that part of Tawheed is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this. When he wants us to love the Ahlul Bayt,
right.
and this is the reward of the prophethood, who are we to determine what is Tawheed or not? Mm-hmm. This is part of the Tawheed. And now I wanted to come here. When we come to the love of Ahlul Bayt, there is this famous hadith narrated both by Sunni and Shia about Hadith al-Kisa.
Yes.
It shows the gathering of the five great examples and role models in the creation.
Yes.
The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, and Hassanin.
Yeah.
In that hadith,
yes.
the center of the gathering is Lady Fatima al-Zahra.
Uh-huh.
And this is important. Or in the salawat that we offer for Lady Fatima al-Zahra, it says, Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha. Right? Yeah. So this is, it shows, and some of the mystics among Shia,
yes.
and even among generally Muslims, because you know it's not just about Shia Ibn Arabi, who is not Shia in that sense. He has a spiritual tone in his teachings. They acknowledge this position for Lady Fatima al-Zahra as being the center of the Ahlul Kisa.
And Ayatul Tathir was revealed on such occasion. Did you know that? I mean, Prophet Muhammad paved the way in order to talk about Hadith al-Kisa. It was in Umm Salama's house, I think. And the story is narrated from the Umm Salama's time, one of the most authentic narrators of Ahadith among the wives of Prophet Muhammad over there. And then one by one they are coming. Lady Fatima is coming. Sons are coming. Hassan and Hussein and Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Hadith al-Kisa is over there. But a Quranic ayah is now over there.
Yes.
Where? In between the ayahs about the wives of Prophet Muhammad. Okay? This shows the holy significance of only one lady here. And that is Lady Fatima al-Zahra.
And what came after it, that for certain days, the Prophet, I mean long days, the Prophet would come towards the house of Fatima and Ali, and he would say, As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-bayt. This term has only been applied to Fatima and the family of Fatima.
So this to distinguish between two meanings of the Ahl al-Bayt.
Throughout,
could be the household or could be the people of the house, okay? Now, Fatima is among the Ahl al-Bayt.
Ahl al-Bayt. Throughout history, you do not find any faction of Muslims of any such relation to the Prophet to claim that we are the Ahl al-Bayt. Only Banu Fatima and everybody else knew that this is a restricted term for Fatima and the progeny of Fatima. So later on, if now some people they say Ahl al-Bayt, no, refer to history and see that people knew their limit. They would not say, okay, we are the Ahl al-Bayt. They would say that maybe we are Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, maybe, these titles they would take for themselves. But they knew that they cannot take Ahl al-Bayt for themselves.
All right, okay. Yes, such a holy, and we miss her, you know, that's it. The sadness has become multiplied because they didn't know this great character.
Yes.
I mean, from birth, that was holy, okay? So look at the prescriptions that are done to Prophet Muhammad. We can say the delivery of Lady Khadija and all this, okay? It's by divine light. Even the food that has to be consumed, okay, by Prophet Muhammad and Lady Khadija for birth of such a child is really extraordinary. I mean, when you go out to the Islamic references, you find so many details.
So, just like you were saying, the character of Sayyida Fatima, salamullahi alayha, the love of Sayyida Fatima, the care of Sayyida Fatima, everything, I would say the love and the personality of this noble lady is such a personality that it would bring tears in every single incident of her life. I have seen tears in people's eyes. Every single thing. Her care towards her husband, her care towards her children.
How much inspiration people take from the marriage of Lady Fatima al-Zahra and Imam Ali.
Yes.
And this is a source of teaching for all of the young people in our age.
In today's world, that so many people want to follow up, we can say, starting marriage is a simple type of lifestyle.
Even the love itself, we should be very lucky to have this love in our hearts.
Yes.
We should be very lucky and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would say even a whole lifetime of sajda, prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just that He has blessed us with the love of this noble lady, is still very less. It's nothing when compared to the love of what Allah has blessed us with, the love of Sayyida Fatima and the holy progeny and the holy family of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. And I would say no matter how much love we have towards her, it's still less. And this will only increase our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
The more the love, the more we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's, just like Sheikh Hussain has said, the love of the Ahlul Bayt, having love towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, is Tawheed, is the acceptance of Tawheed. Okay. That is, it is a proof that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by loving the Ahlul Bayt, by loving this noble personality. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So without the love of Ahlul Bayt, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't exist.
All right.
So if someone is saying, I don't love the Ahlul Bayt, but I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is a liar. Is a clear liar.
Yeah. Yep.
Delusional.
That's right. So the role as a mother is really important over here. Sometimes when Zainab was in the court, Lady Zainab was in court of Yazid, was referring to the ahadith and then the text of the Holy Quran, the consultants of Yazid around him said, stop.
Yeah.
You better stop, because from now on, you are facing a lady who is really knowledgeable. So, and so many people might say that this lady was nurtured by Lady Fatima Zahra.
Yeah.
I mean, even as a mother, as a teacher.
Mm.
So the Quran, in its true way, was taught to Lady Zainab, Imam al-Hussein, and Imam Hassan al-Mujtama alayhi salam. But now the major question is that, how in today's world, in facing the oppression, we can benefit from Lady Zainab, Shaykh? Because sometimes we see she was a lady, and she was a mother, she was, for example, a wife, and the emotional things come to the scene, but we do not know that there is also a part of the life of Lady Zahra who is against the oppression of her time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So how to benefit from it in today's world? For example, facing the tyrannies, facing the cruels, facing all these oppressors and zalimin all across the world.
Okay, yes. There is a greater lesson, and there are minor issues in the role model or in the activity of Lady Fatima al-Zahra against the oppression and injustice in her time. The greater lesson is that you should not lose hope, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a big lesson there, because in the face of all the odds, a pregnant lady, and as I have been telling this here and there, that when we put ourselves there at that time, many people had this calculation that this is not gonna work. Okay, mm-hmm. So in that situation, most of us, people like us, would say, okay, it's been finished, and what can we do? Let's just remain silent and do not cause trouble. But then Lady Fatima al-Zahra sees something else. He sees later generations that they come, and if I do not leave any sign here in history, they might think that, okay, everything was okay. They accepted it themselves. If you raise your voice, at least throughout history, you are creating a point of reference that no, there were people who opposed this from the pure progeny of the Prophet. They yes. did not accept. So this is important. You do not lose hope. You do what is your duty to do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put blessing in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting barakah in it. Yes. After thousands of years, people will remember that and they take the message from it. That is one thing. The other thing is that in the way that you want to be active, Lady Fatima al-Zahra was not caught up by the emotions. Mm-hmm. This is something that some of the other factions, the enemy, tried to say that, yeah, it is based on the emotions and everything. She was sad because of the loss of the Prophet. Yes, she was sad.
She went to Baytul Ahzan, or her voice was so loud in crying and she had tears.
So she
or she asked, for example, for death or something, they say.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why they want to say that what she did was not necessarily covering the maslaha of the ummah. Those men, they knew the maslaha of the ummah. Okay, this is a big question now here.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, let's listen. If Lady Fatima al-Zahra did what she did based on emotions,
mm-hmm.
and those people did what they did based on their calculations, strategic thinking, bring one line like the sermon of Fadakiyah from those people.
All right.
A person that is caught up by emotions cannot deliver one line like that.
That's right.
The sermon of Fadakiyah comes from a point of authority, a point of agency, a person not just knowing something but is in full control of herself and full knowledge of the true message of Islam. She delivers that powerfully, strongly. But then bring one line like that from those people who oppose Lady Fatima al-Zahra.
Right.
No, you don't have that.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, those who were consumed by power, by the desire for dominance, they're the other side. Lady Fatima al-Zahra shows us that even at the highest moments of stress and instability, she was in full control of her character, her words, and still today, these words are studied as the sources of Islamic, true Islamic knowledge and everything. So it tells us that you should not lose balance. If you want to make a stance, take an action, you have to remember that emotions should not lead you.
Okay.
Yeah, you should have the knowledge, you should have the control of yourself, and then when in that, under those conditions, you make an stance, inshallah, it will remain in history.
It is as if a man is talking to them. I mean,
the even not man at that time could not deliver such a message. Those Bedouin Arabs, they were illiterate.
Yes, the words of Ali in the mouth of a lady Fatima.
Yes, it is not surprised to see that Zainab al-Kubra.
Yes,
she does like her mother because Ahlul Bayt Adra bima fi al-Bayt.
Yeah,
they had their homeschooling, which is
okay. Very good.
Even about the thing which Sheikh has pointed towards about the crying of Sayyidah Fatima. Like she used to cry a lot,
yes.
And her voice was a bit loud, maybe.
Yes.
It comes not just from emotion; it comes from intellect as well.
Uh-huh.
We see that Sayyidah Fatima is crying because she lost not the father, not just a normal father. She lost a father who is a prophet. From now on, there won't be revelation. There won't be divine revelation. Mm. The whole connection with revelation has been cut off.
That's right.
This is even if we were to live in those era example, we should cry like Sayyidah Fatima.
Yes.
Now that her rights are being usurped, the rights of the Khalifa of the time, Amir al-Mu'mineen, have been usurped. A person should cry like no other day. This is actually the intellect which says us, which tells us and commands us to do. Okay. It's not just the emotion. It's not the emotional factor.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we were to live in those era, example, in the time of Sayyidah Fatima, it is our duty to support her her wails, in her cries, in her tears. We should come near her. We should say salam, and we should cry with her. Tell the whole world, this is the point of grief. The point where, like, the whole oppression is upon the Ahlul Bayt, that is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali al-Islam, the way he's oppressed, yeah?
All right.
So, yeah, this is complete intellect. This is complete aql, according to me, what we see, and not complete emotional factor, yeah?
Thank you. Her secret burial procession, we can say, is a sign that shows us today that how much we can say a person can be not known truly at her own time, okay? So still today, so many people, we can say, are looking for the grave of Lady Fatima al-Zahra to pay respect. But here in the holy city of Qom, we welcome so many pilgrims, visitors from all across the world, because they believe that paying visit to Lady Fatima al-Masuma in the holy city of Qom might be equal to Lady Fatima al-Zahra till Imam As, inshallah, reappears and show us the true grave and the tomb of Lady Fatima al-Zahra. May all the people got a chance nowadays traveling to the holy city of Qom, paying the visit to Lady Fatima al-Masuma over here. And my suggestion, read out the ziyaratics of Lady Fatima al-Zahra in the holy shrine of Lady Fatima al-Masuma too, together all, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah.
May Allah accept your majalis, your du'as and supplications, your donations on this day. Thank you, Amar Sheikh Latifi and Sheikh Liaghat for elaboration regarding the lifestyle of Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Dear listeners, again, we express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady of Light, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You are listening to the program The Key on Iran Radio with Sheikh Shiraz.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be examining a very important question, and that question is related to a topic which is very important in Islam. I'm referring to the Aql. As you know, this term has come up in many places in the Holy Quran and Hadith, and the intellect or intelligence is something which has been praised in many places in these scriptures. By way of example, regarding the value of the intellect, God Almighty says the following in the Holy Quran. He gives wisdom to whoever he wishes, and he who is given wisdom is certainly given an abundant good. But none take admonition except for those who possess intellect. And God also says, and they will say, had we listened or applied reason, we would not have been among the inmates of the blaze. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ وَكُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. So the intellect is something very recommended, and it has been promoted in Islam. The question we want to pose today with respect to this topic is, what increases the intellect, or what improves it? In order to answer this question, we can take inspiration from some of the hadiths which have been narrated from Imams alayhimus salam regarding this topic. In one beautiful hadith, Imam Ali alayhis salam has been reported as having said, the intellect is an intrinsic thing that increases, meaning it's like a natural thing, that increases with knowledge and experiences. Knowledge and tajruba, experiences, these improve the intellect or increase it. By abandoning that which does not concern you, your intellect will be completed, will be fulfilled, will be perfected. This is another saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, when he reminded Muawiyah of the use of his intellect, he said, the intellect is only perfected through following the truth. To which Muawiyah replied, there is only one thing in your chests. You attribute everything to the truth. Meaning, following the truth, adhering to the truth, promoting the truth, you know, speaking the truth, these are things that help improve the intellect. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once said, frequent study of matters of knowledge opens the intellect. So studying, it increases the intellect and intelligence. It's not enough that you have a high IQ. Rather, you have to use it and study. When you do, your intellect will blossom and your intelligence will improve. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once said, the perfection of the intellect lies in three things. Kamalul aqli fi thalathatin. The first is humility before God. At-tawazu lillah, being humble and submissive to God. The second, strong conviction, husnul yaqeen, you know, being sure and certain about things. And finally, silence except when speaking good, asamte illa min khairin. You know, silence is one of the not only one of the signs of the intellect and intelligence, but also it helps improve the intelligence and intellect, and it helps it blossom. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at things that improve the intellect and intelligence in light of the hadith of the infallibles, alayhim salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program The Key on Iran Radio with Sheikh Shiraz.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Good night to all listeners of Iran Radio coming to you from Tehran. Iran Radio presents some interesting facts about the Holy Quran. The word Bismillah appears 114 times in the Quran. It occurs twice in chapter An-Naml, whereas chapter Tawbah is the only surah which does not begin with Bismillah. Quran believes in life after death, and the Quran teaches us that besides having a body, a human being also has a spirit, a soul. And when a person dies, the physical body vanishes, while the soul remains. We'll start this hour's lineup with our varied radio productions feature that will be followed by Back to Reality, a roundtable discussion in which we invite young Muslims to discuss some pertinent religious and social issues of today's Islamic world. Then it's time for Bridge. The program presents a brief commentary on the supplications of the Noble Book of Sahifa Sajadiyah. And we round up this hour's program with Spotlight. The program covers the most important events happening in the world today with roundtable analysis and discussion. Stay with us for the next hour.
That was the week that was. Beyond the headlines, we dissect the stories that shaped the past 7 days from the heart of region to the global stage. God, the compassionate, the merciful. Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to our political chat show, That Was the Week That Was. We look at global politics and issues of the day, and I'm your host, Leila Garcia. With me here in the studio is veteran journalist and political commentator, Miranda Akhshand. Please stay tuned. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much indeed.
Today's discussion is about the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's visit to the White House. Donald Trump has shrugged off the Saudi regime's 2018 murder of the Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi, saying the journalist was extremely controversial and unpopular, dismissing the killing by observing things happen. The U.S. president made the remarks at the White House on Tuesday while welcoming Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for the first time since Khashoggi's murder and dismemberment in Istanbul by Saudi state operatives. Donald Trump castigated the ABC News journalist who asked a question about the murder, suggesting that ABC should lose its broadcasting license, and describing Khashoggi as extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or you didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it, Trump said, referring to the Crown Prince. Prince Mohammed said, "It's painful and it's a huge mistake, and we are doing our best that this doesn't happen again." Trump sought to highlight promised Saudi investment in the U.S. economy, which was billed at the start of the White House meeting as totaling $600 billion, but which the Crown Prince said at Trump's prompting could ultimately total $1 trillion. Trump confirmed that he intended to sell top-of-the-line F-35 stealth fighter jets to Riyadh over the objections of Israel and concerns of the U.S. intelligence community. Okay, let's bring in veteran journalist and political commentator Meron Derakhshande.
Thanks for inviting me.
My first question is, why is Trump insisting that Mohammed bin Salman knows nothing about Khashoggi's murder, even though U.S. intelligence agencies confirmed at the time that the Saudi crown prince had ordered the killing?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, effectively, Donald Trump is contradicting his own intelligence agencies, which confirmed that the